Kale and Company, weekday mornings, 6 till 10.
Chronic absenteeism has been a problem in school districts all across the country since the pandemic. A lot of kids just aren't showing up. And school officials have tried to get creative to try to get kids to come to class. Well, here at this charter school in D.C., they're trying something very creative. They're actually paying kids to come to school to try to be an incentive. Now, the kids are getting $50 a week. That's 40 students, $50 a week.
Ridiculous.
This is part of a pilot program to check to see if getting this money, which is loaded onto a debit card, will get them to come to school. And then they're going to compare it to the students who aren't in the program and see, could this be a solution for chronic absenteeism?
I had bought Thanksgiving food for my family. I kind of helped out a little bit. I used it on my senior pictures outfit. I gave some money to my siblings if they needed it.
I think kids feel more empowered. And it's connected to if you show up, you work hard, you play hard, you have more choices. So I do think it has a positive impact.
This isn't just about getting kids to come back to class. It's also about financial literacy. With that $50 a week, they're deciding how they're going to spend it. Are they going to save it? They're also learning about investing.
What a disgrace. Your tax dollars to prevent truancy.
And they picked out what they say, 40 kids?
Yeah.
So it's the 40 kids that don't show up.
Right. That's unbelievable.
It's unbelievable.
We'll hook you up so you don't play hooky.
Yeah. I had bought Thanksgiving.
I had ran to the store.
What's next now? We're going to give you $50 if you pass all of your classes?
Jesus. This is absolutely ridiculous, and DC should be ashamed of themselves.
I agree. That's embarrassing. That is embarrassing.
By the way, where was this program when I was in school?
I would have
made out like a bandit.
Between that and delivering pizzas, you would have been like a cash money 100-er.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and the other issue is the mom took the kids. I mean, if they're earning it to get good grades and be in school, the mom used it. The mom took the money.
Yeah.
To spend on groceries.
Can you imagine?
That, I mean,
yeah.
That's not right either.
Instead of reprimanding your child, your child had bought.
Right. Do you think that the mom was even aware that the kid
dinner.
Was skipping school? That's the most important question.
Well, obviously, if they're paying their little delinquent to show up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's disgraceful.
It really is. $50.
Yeah.
$50.
But why do they choose? Yeah. So how about the other kids that are always there?
Yeah. They get screwed.
Yeah.
They're like, well, I won't come.
Right.
Pay me $50 a week.
Yeah. We'll all skip. It'll be anarchy.
Pay me to come to school.
That's right. All right. We have a lot to get to on the show today. A big take where we hit the pause button on an open America. Also, Democrats versus Republicans on the affordability message and narrative in this country. Josh Shapiro blasts Kamala Harris as Kamala Harris's book is out, 107 days. And the Pennsylvania governor, he didn't like what was written about him. And also, speaking of paying kids, today's kids and their allowances compared to what their parents were getting allowance-wise back in the day blows them out of the water.
Allowance?
We have to. I know, right? I was like, allowance?
My kids just have my credit cards in their wallet.
That's a bad job out of you, then.
I was going to ask you yesterday.
That's a you problem.
Does Michael, or which one is it down in Carolina?
David.
Does David have his own American Express card with your name on it?
Baby.
Mm-hmm. I knew it. I was going to ask that question yesterday, but we were out of time.
He's my baby.
He's your baby. All right.
Larry's like, I lost my card. I'm like, well.
No, you didn't. I gave it to your son. Now pipe down, dude.
Michael Pelko in the YouTube chat says, maybe mom is the student. That's a good
point.
Oh. That's a good point. Michael Pelko.
Stop, Michael.
That's not a bad thought.
No,
thank you, Mike.
Not a bad thought
Love
at
it,
all. Cut Sheet, Fight Club, Jimmy Fallon, and a whole bunch more. Let's get down to business, though. Round number one of the news here at 6:09. The great Dawn Stensland.
And good morning on this frosty morning. I mean, we're at 32 degrees right now, but headed down to 20 degrees overnight, an Arctic blast tomorrow in the forecast. So heads up on that one. We are sponsored this morning by Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. In the news this morning, we'll begin with a Kale & Company news follow-up, as there is now a $5,000 reward. This from the Montgomery County DA, Kevin Steele. and officials there in Montgo revealing photos of a vehicle that they think may be connected to a shooting that killed a teenager in Norristown. This happened Sunday night over the weekend. So we've talked about this, but on this one, the shooting happened on Powell Street. Officers say once they got to the scene, they find this 19-year-old Hamid Boyd suffering from the gunshot wounds and took him to a nearby hospital where he was pronounced dead. This is one of those situations where every second mattered. They did not wait for an ambulance. The officers get on the scene, rush him to the hospital, trying to save his life. And so a lot of community reaction from this. Montgo officials, including Kevin Steele, speaking out, offering this $5,000 reward. So they've released some new photos. And among them, they say the surveillance video captured three men getting into a white sedan, driving away right after the shooting happened. And the white sedan is believed to, looks like a Chevrolet, they say. And it, one of the pictures is, they're not really clear. They're a little bit blurry, but they're all over online. They released those photos. Norristown, they say, tight-knit community, shaken by this teenager. Officials are offering the $5,000 reward for anybody leading to the ID of the three suspects or the vehicle. So they want you to call the Norristown Police Department, or if you know who they are, you see them, call 911.
I'm guessing, based on the fact that you said some of the surveillance is a little shoddy, we could rule out any accurate description of said suspects.
Yeah, we don't.
Male, possibly white.
And it's interesting because I don't see on what they released, because they're saying they could see three guys walking to the car. They're only releasing pictures of the car. Not the three guys, to my knowledge. I mean, that's not what I'm seeing.
Yeah. Here's the car.
Yeah.
How about the people? Okay.
It's a white car.
The white car.
The white car.
Well, right. That's why they're able to show it.
And it's a Chevy.
It works, yeah.
So at least they went
black or brown car. They can't show it.
Right. Cannot show it.
At least they went American with the vehicle.
It's Kale and Company on demand from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and the free Odyssey app.
There are two good consumer stories, but we have to get to this story because this is making big news here in Philadelphia, that those driverless Waymo vehicles that we've talked about, well, looks like they're coming soon to Philadelphia. It's a big story here with these Waymo vehicles. We know that they've been testing them in certain cities like Los Angeles, and they're coming soon to Philadelphia, not to be used widely, but they're testing them. And this is, there's a lot of concern because, for example, while they've been testing them, there was a situation in another city, I believe this was Los Angeles, where the Waymo vehicle, these are those driverless vehicles they're testing out. And so it just kept driving past a bus stop that was stopped and letting kids out and had the little, you know, the little stop sign out, that sort of thing.
The ones that I would never go through. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, the school bus that you passed on a two-way street, that was still moving. It wasn't stopped yet.
That's true.
We have one from Arizona, I believe this was.
Was this Arizona?
So a Waymo vehicle, and for those of you who don't know, they're the driverless vehicles they're like little taxis almost.
Yeah, but the ones that I will never get in.
It drove through an active police scene.
Mm-hmm.
So there, because how would it know, right? So
watch this.
Roll it, Phil.
Waymo.
Look at,
oh my God!
There's an active police scene. It just goes into the. Mm-hmm. It goes.
Yeah.
What the f- is that Waymo doing?
Yeah.
Oops. There's a guy down on the ground.
The guy's sucking pavement.
There's a guy on the. He's sucking pavement with the cops have their guns drawn on him.
Yep.
It's crazy.
Well, if the cops won't kill you, Waymo will.
And the Waymo just kept going because again, it doesn't know.
Nope. Yeah, you guys want to, I said this months ago on the show. Oh, I'll drive it. Humans are distracted. Okay. Yeah, have fun with that.
So
who should be the first guinea pig in the Waymo Philadelphia experiment? I nominate Larry Krasner.
Buckle up, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Buckle up, Waymo coming here. But I think it is the future.
Of course it is.
You know?
Yes.
As Elon Musk and others, will there be driverless school buses, taxis? Is that what we're going to see? And there are a lot of advantages to it. People who we've talked about, people with disabilities, eyesight.
God. Could you imagine
issues?
Driverless school buses? Kids fighting with nobody to break it up. Would you trust your... I mean, you don't even trust your kid at college, Dawn. You think you would put a 9-year-old on a bus without a driver?
Very good point, Nick.
Never.
Very good point, Nick.
But this is official. And so they've been testing this out slowly.
Okay.
Now they're kicking this into high gear, as they say, testing in Philadelphia with, like I say, earlier this year, small fleet of vehicles with those human safety drivers still behind the wheel. Now we're moving into the next phase, and this is autonomous testing ahead of the future public launch.
Yeah.
Get back to me in 15 years with tons of data on how safe it was, then I'll consider it.
Niantic68 on the YouTube chat says, one lawsuit and it's over. Absolutely.
Oh,
absolutely.
There will be lawyers.
Yeah. I know people who have used them, and actually when Jimmy Fallon comes up at 8:30, I'm going to ask him if he's ever used one because, you know, he travels all over the country for, you know, his stand-up stuff. So I'm wondering if because people use them in Arizona and, like, really enjoyed them.
Another example of AI taking human jobs.
You literally walk out of bars. There's, like, a strip in one section of Arizona. You literally walk out of bars, and instead of cabs everywhere or, you know, Ubers and stuff, like, it's literally all these Waymos, and people just get into these Waymos and they take them home.
So, but think about it. Jimmy Fallon started out as a taxi driver in New York City.
Yeah.
Would he not be the Jimmy Fallon we know and love?
100%.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Phil, he hadn't had that job.
Phil, re-rack that for 8:30 when Jimmy Fallon comes up. Thank you.
Dun-da-da-da.
Assuming Jimmy's good to go today.
He is. I talked to him yesterday.
All right, sweet.
So, but this new announcement is coming days after passengers, like I say, in the robo-taxi operated by Waymo were driven just a few feet away from that police stop in downtown Los Angeles. So there was not just where you showed in Arizona. It's happening. You know, they're in Los Angeles. They're in Arizona. Mm-hmm. They're across the country. And they've done these things, driving by a stop school bus with little kiddies coming out or an active police scene, that sort of. They just don't have the judgment.
Mike K. writes, can a Waymo get carjacked? That's a good point. It's a good. I mean, that's a good thought.
If it can happen, it'll happen in Philly pretty quickly.
Yeah. This robot voice would come on and go like, you will be electrocuted.
like RoboCop. Yeah,
like a boat in the international waters.
That's a war crime, Dawn.
Yeah,
war crime. I've been told it's a war crime. People don't know what a war crime is, but we'll keep repeating it over the television.
Because it sounds salacious.
Exactly.
The cities are Los Angeles, San Francisco Bay Area, Phoenix, Atlanta, Austin, and now Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
Here we go.
Okay.
I don't have a confirmation of when
I was gonna ask
the public launch would be.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's based now on this phase two that we're seeing in Philadelphia. So as of right now, they're being tested with a human driver at the wheel.
With the rise of Uber and Lyft, now this, safe to say that the actual old school cab companies are pretty much down to their final days?
Not yet.
No?
I don't think yet.
Okay.
But I mean, I do think in
does
the
anybody
next
actually,
10 years.
Does anybody actually still get a cab? Or have we all been like indoctrinated to use Lyft and Uber?
I use every time I go to New York,
yeah.
And I take the train from right here to Penn Station, and I always get out and take a cab.
Right.
Every
because of the
time.
Convenience of it sitting right
100%,
there.
100%. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah. Crazy. Some different, I'll call it consumer news this morning, tax news. So we've talked a lot about the antics in Delco, Delaware County. The property taxes, much like Montgomery County, keep going up and up. So last night, heated, emotional city council meeting last night. Because these residents are furious over a proposed 19% property tax hike. It's the latest in a series, like I say, of these hikes. Homeowners are furious. Last year, 23.8%, nearly 24% hike in their property taxes. And they raised it 5% the year before that.
Mm-hmm.
So you think about that, 5% just in the, you know, less than 2-year period, you're looking at 5%, nearly 24%, and now another nearly 20%. That's crazy.
A lot of red states in the South have been pushing, at least from a messaging standpoint, for the elimination of property taxes. DeSantis has been talking about it, Tennessee, South Carolina. I mean, it's basically like a rental tax.
Yeah.
It's absurd.
It is. And you know who it hits hard as well? Senior citizens who've been in their homes for, you know, let's say 30, 40, you know, plus years, especially in this area. I saw a report that the housing in especially in this area, people stay here. And like Nick Kahl, people, maybe you left for a while in a career, you and your wife left for a while, then you come back.
Right.
That's what we're famous for in this area.
Mm-hmm.
And so that means that less and less people, a tiny percentage, actually are selling their homes. So think about that. Like with what you're saying, in Delco, yep. you have people, maybe an elderly couple, they've lived in their home, you know, their entire, you know, 50 years or something.
Well, you had a story 2 weeks ago with a 90-some-year-old lady in Delco.
Yes.
That was evicted because of rising prices, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so in that one, watching that carefully, but a very emotional meeting. I do want to talk about something, and this is in Montgomery County. I'll take you there. These are these plans, pretty aggressive plans. They want to redevelop the Plymouth Meeting Mall, much like across the country, with the exception of KOP is a very active, successful mall. Every other mall pretty much is dying out. Plymouth Meeting Mall, if you go in there, it's a dying mall. But now this is drawing pushback from one of the tenants. And this is the Church on the Mall, which actually has a very active house worship. And they're very worried about their church right in the middle of Advent, last Sunday, first Sunday of Advent, obviously. And now they're worried they're going to be pushed out.
There's a church on the property of the Plymouth Meeting Mall?
Church on the Mall.
I've never seen that before.
Yeah.
Where is that? I mean, I've seen, you know, the outdoor stores, you know, you have the Dick's, you have the Miller's Ale House. Was it on the backside by like the Benihana?
It's more toward, you know, Legoland.
Oh, okay.
Like over, if you go through that entrance,
yeah.
It's over by there.
Okay.
So they're really worried about it because they said, you know, it looks like they're still going to have services during the Christmas season, but the mall is under contract to be sold in February. And the owner previously said nobody's supposed to be forced out during this transition.
Mm-hmm.
But it looks like it will eventually happen.
Yeah. Well, that mall is dead.
I know.
As soon as I moved back up here 3.5 years ago, I went there one day and I was like, there's nothing. There's 40% vacancies.
Yeah.
All right. We have to stay on time. So,
real quick here, let me talk about Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. It's really your secret to finishing your holiday shopping this year. Visit their locations, and these are beautiful locations if you've been in these spas. Glen Mills, and there's another Joseph Anthony Retreat Spa and Salon. That one's in Springfield. You can always just go online, check them out, josephanthony.com, where the gift cards, of course, are always available, josephanthony.com. Nick, I know the weather, there are some frozen spots in the roads this morning, some bad accidents, in fact, and it looks like we'll have some frigid Arctic blasts moving through.
Yes, just in time for us to get up at 4 a.m. tomorrow and head out for a live show. Beautiful. Currently 31 degrees, only going up to 41 today, but you're right. Tomorrow, the high is the temperature right now, 31 degrees for your high on Friday. So when you come on out and you bring a wrapped up, an unwrapped toy.
Unwrapped, come on.
Make sure you wrap yourself.
Wrap yourself up, unwrap the toy. Wrap yourself up, unwrap the toy.
There you go.
And you know what you can wrap yourself up in? Something that I've used for years, my secret to keeping warm in wintry weather like this, heat holders. They make the warmest thermal socks. I'm not just saying that. They're proven to be 7 times warmer than your regular cotton socks or regular socks out there. And that's according to independent lab testing and researchers. They've actually proven this about heat holders. I love mine. And they are my go-to every single winter on days like tomorrow, or even on days like, you know, the first of the year, every year out in the cold in that parade, I'm always nice and cozy with my heat holders. My feet can't get enough of them, but they're not just making great socks. And that's just it. This is one of my best kept secrets because like the socks, they have the base layers. They come in the 3 warmth level. So you can choose which one is right for you, whatever cold you're facing or whatever situation you are facing. And like I say, I have heat holders. I have a hat. I have the little earmuffs. I have the different glove. The gloves are awesome because usually they say if your head, your hands, and your feet are warm, you're good to go, right? And that's with heat holders. I'm always good. But they make more than that. The jackets, the fleece vests, and they have some new products out, so you got to check them out. And they have these cozy blankets in all different styles. Great gifts for the holidays. 40,000 5-star reviews. And you know this brand really does deliver, a well-known, terrific brand, heatholders.com. Make sure you use my code DAWN1210. And by the way, you get 15% off your order and free shipping with a purchase over $25. Just go to heatholders.com, promo code DAWN1210. Heatholders, you know, they keep you warm, comfy, cozy from head to toe. Heatholders.com. Make sure you tell them DAWN1210 sent you.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHT and on the free Odyssey app.
Welcome back in, Kale and Company, as we continue here on a super busy Thursday morning. Nick Kale, Dawn Stenzel, and Greg Stocker. We have the cut sheet coming up at 7:45. Jimmy Failla from Fox News and Fox Across America, the Jimmy Failla Show. You hear it weeknight 7 to 10 p.m. He'll join us coming up at 8:30. Fight Club at 9:10, and a whole lot more. But right now, let's get to a Thursday morning big take.
The Big Take on Kale and Company,
which is brought to you by Staples. The Big Take, hitting the pause button on an open America. Shut it down. That's right. I said it, and I agree with Donald Trump. The 47th president of the United States making major headlines over the last week over his position of pausing all immigration applications and letting 19 different nations know that you are not getting in here anytime soon. The number one issue in America, no doubt about it, is affordability. That cannot be changed and corrected overnight. So, in the meantime, Trump is assuring America will be safer and those seeking entry will be vetted properly and have to wait and will enter legally after going about the process and waiting their turn in line. Illegal immigration, crime, narco boats, all of this under a umbrella of make America safer than it has been. And both are high priorities for 47 as the economic cake bakes in the oven. It doesn't matter if you're roaming the streets free after a left-wing activist judge and or prosecutor let you off the hook again, or if you are smuggling narcotics into the country on a boat, or if you are coming from the Middle East or South America. Life just got more difficult for you. And here are just a few of the 19 nations that are now placed on the pause list. Afghanistan, Haiti, Iran, Libya, Somalia, the Sudan, Yemen, Cuba, Turkmenistan, Venezuela. Don't like it? Offended? Deem it to be racist? Islamophobic? Too bad. Coming to this country is a privilege, not a right. As Greg Stocker once famously said, quote, "Stop disgusting up our country. We have enough domestic slobs. We don't need to import foreign dummies. Who knows better about the awful nations and their residents seeking asylum in America? Better than the country of Afghanistan? Better than Army combat veterans who served America against those with sinister terrorist intentions?" Mark Lucas is an American combat vet in Afghanistan. He's now the founder of Veteran Action and works as a caucus organizer in Iowa. He joined Newsmax and had this to offer up. Listen and watch.
President Trump is making the right call to pause all immigration. And I'll tell you that ordinary American citizens cannot fathom the evil that we as Afghan veterans saw in Afghanistan. These people are unvettable. They will not fit into our culture. And as a platoon leader, I had to conduct these key leader engagements with my supposed allies. And they would have these young boys, these chai boys that would serve as tea, and they were sold into sexual slavery to these pedophile men. And also my women that are attached to my unit, the female engagement team, all three of them just so happened to be blonde. We had to constantly protect these women from Afghan locals and our allies in the Afghan National Security Forces. If we wouldn't have done that, they would have been beaten and they would have been raped. Now, many of the men I served with in Afghanistan were courageous. I admired a few of them, but I couldn't trust any of them. And we need to deport all of these people as soon as possible to protect our homeland.
Our system has been stampeded. Our border was steamrolled. Until we get caught up to speed and accurately assess individuals, we should not allow innocent Americans to be put at risk in the name of acceptance out of the goodness of our hearts and so inclusive of letting outsiders have the pursuit of the American dream. America first means Americans first. Chad Wolf was the acting DHS secretary under Trump during Trump 1.0 in 2019. He had this to say on Fox News. Listen and watch.
Yeah, look, I fully support what the president's doing. If you go back all the way to 2021 under Operation Welcome Allies in the Biden administration, after that chaotic withdrawal from Kabul, basically paroled in upwards to 100,000 Afghan nationals into the United States. And I've heard say, oh, they've been vetted. They have not been properly vetted. To do a refugee vet takes months. These folks were flown into the United States in a matter of days and weeks. And then the Biden administration tried to vet them while they were here and tried to convince the American people there's nothing to be alarmed about. So it's not just this individual. If you remember in 2024, there was a terror plot that was thwarted on Election Day, a few days before Election Day, also from an Afghan national brought in under this program. So the program has problems. Vetting, as Nicole Parker said, is very, very difficult from these countries of concern. So the Trump administration and President Trump is exactly right. It's time to pause this. It's time to look further into who these individuals are. And all of these countries of concern, the 20 that they've identified, these are countries like Yemen and Iran and Afghanistan, where the records are non-existent. There's nothing to vet them from. They say their birthday is February 1st of whatever year, and you can't verify that. And so normally you just give them a check and you allow them in. And President Trump is right. He is now concerned about protecting Americans. And if you listen to the left-wing media and all these pundits and everything else, they always start with, well, the alien, the illegal alien, or the migrant coming in. Instead, they should be focusing on what is best for the American people.
Amen to that. And imagine that, the Biden administration spending less time vetting someone from a foreign nation with terror ties, perhaps, or possibly with a history of rape or sexual trafficking of human beings, than an employer or college does here in the United States. It's crazy town. So I say, yes, put it on pause. And as Philadelphia's own Benjamin Manis writes, who, by the way, you hear on the Dawn Show quite frequently, quote, regardless of politics, safer communities matter. Ben writes at his new piece for Broad and Liberty how he explores how recent federal crime and immigration strategies are impacting crime rates despite obstruction by both the media and local Democrat officials. He goes on to write, quote, despite a concerted media campaign to portray President Trump's immigration enforcement and approach to crime in Washington, D.C. as inhumane, the latest crime statistics suggest his administration's tough stance is making communities safer, especially in urban centers and swing states. Recent data show violent crime in Washington, D.C. has dropped significantly. According to USA Facts, murders have decreased by 34%, rapes by 15%, and robberies by nearly 21% from the previous year, even as overall violent crime in D.C. remain amongst the highest in the country at 1,006 offenses per 100,000 people. City officials attribute much of the decline to increased police presence and stricter law enforcement, notably under new federal directives tied to immigration enforcement since Trump's reelection. Official White House figures confirm nearly 1,600 violent crimes have been reported so far in 2025, suggesting continued pressure on criminal activity. Critics have accused Trump's approach of being novel or excessively harsh, but the underlying immigration laws have historical roots stretching back more than a century. The Immigration Act of 1917 established strict regulations and a foundation for enforcement that persists to this day. Look, tough on crime, meticulous on immigration, it's worked for generations. Democrats have done it. Republicans have done it. They've done it in the past. They're doing it today. The only issue now is because it's the orange man. So I say, keep doing more of the same. Pause anything and everything on immigration and crime, because after all, those were two of the top three issues that got Donald Trump reelected, with number one, of course, being the economy. So I say, do not stop now. And that's the big take.
The Big Take on Kale & Company.
Brought to you by Staples, where you can have an easy holiday only at Staples. Save on top tech and gaming gifts, plus shipping supplies and services for safer delivery. Don't miss 60% off custom cards, photo gifts, wrapping paper, and more. Visit staples.com/print for details. Staples, that was easy. 855-839-1210. If you want to jump in, I've got a Biden clip from 1989 I want to play for you in a moment. But first, I'm going to get Dawn's thoughts on this. Dawn, I'm sure you'll have Ben on at some point again. But when you look at it, I mean, I don't know how in the world this could even be remotely partisan. This is a bipartisan support that should exist in 2025 when we talk about, doesn't matter whether it's domestic criminals on the crime and the law and order front or, you know, foreign issues with people trying to come in here. Whether you're coming in here for a variety of reasons or you're coming trying to smuggle boats and narcotics and all that other stuff, the fact that he's getting any pushback on this, any pushback, is utterly insane. But then again, we shouldn't be surprised, right?
Yeah, exactly. And you think of, I really give NYPD so much credit because remember, it was New York City where they kept saying, oh, no, we don't have a crime problem with illegals. And that was the rhetoric across the country because, of course, there's no federal law. There's no state, to my knowledge, that says that you have to say in the crime statute or the arrest record whether or not somebody is a citizen or non-citizen. And it was NYPD who released those shocking statistics. And it was specifically about Times Square in which they reported how much crime was committed by illegals in New York City. It was a game changer across the country. And now you fast forward. I mean, look at what we're learning with Tim Walz, his own DHS workers accusing the Minnesota governor. What a freaking doofus this guy is, right? Yes. But his own people, his own progressive Dems are ripping into him that he ignored all these fraud warnings with the Somalis coming in and doing all of this illegal activity, more than $1 billion. What an incredible fraud scandal for Minnesotans. And I think what burns everybody's, not only is that it's bad enough that it's a $1 billion fraud scandal that grows by the day, but on top of that, it was these individuals coming here and being welcomed in by the Walz administration, etc., and then claiming that their children were in fact autistic or had mental limitations and disabilities, and basically taking advantage and taking money away from some of the most disadvantaged children in our nation. It's sickening to me.
Let me play this for you. Phil Omquist last night found a great clip that really ties into what Trump is doing in 2025 that we tied into the big take. This was Joe Biden in 1989 delivering a televised message from the Democratic Party calling on then President Bush to do more to stop the flow of drugs into the country. In addition to calling for more prisons and more cops, Biden said that Democrats want the creation of a strike force to attack drug dealers before they reach our shores and borders. This is K1. Phil, roll this.
Every president for the past two decades, Democrat and Republican alike, has declared war on drugs. And each of them has lost that war and lost it miserably.
Look at that hair.
They lost because they attempted to deal with only part of the drug problem. They lost because their initiatives were pulled apart by bureaucratic squabbling among their advisors. They lost because they always did too little and they did it too late. We don't oppose the president's plan. All we want to do is strengthen it. We don't doubt his resolve. All we want to do is stiffen it. The trouble is that the president's proposals are not big enough to deal with the problem. We think we should do more to stem the flow of drugs across our borders, and we think we should go one step further. Let's go after the drug lords where they live.
That's a war crime.
With an international strike force.
Nope.
There must be no safe haven for these narco-terrorists, and they must know it. We have to lock up the dealers for a long, long time, and we have to attack the source from which the drugs come. And we have to do that, not a piece at a time, but all at once. And we have to do it now. And there's not any reason why we can't do that. We have the power, we have the money, and we have the knowledge.
Uh-huh.
Not a joke.
There he is, Joe Biden. That would be 36 years ago. It's amazing. If Joe Biden said it in 1989, if I found you something from Bill Clinton in 1996, if I found something from Barack Obama in 2011... nobody would have an issue with it. But because it's 2025, is Donald Trump and a Republican? Yeah, it's war crimes. It's, you know, it's racist. It's Islamophobic. It's every hatred under the sun. Funny how that works out. 855-839-1210. We'll come back, put a bow on the 6 o'clock hour, which, by the way, is brought to you by Bucks County Estate Traders, where you can furnish your home and make a statement for the holidays with one trip to Bucks County Estate Traders. Browse over 16,000 pieces, all high-quality, famous brands, meticulously cared for and curated by their experts. Visit BucksCountyEstateTraders.com or their showroom in Hatfield.
We hope to see you tomorrow morning, bright and early. We'll be out at Piazza Honda in Springfield in Delco. The Piazza Auto Group, what a great time, because they're committed to supporting their communities, our communities, and that's throughout the entire year, as you well know. But especially during the holiday season, Piazza, they partner with the Salvation Army to collect new toys for local children, and this year's no different. So show your support by dropping off and bringing, when you come tomorrow, we want to see you. You got to see my little elf costume, and you got to see Greg Stocker's adorable little sexy Grinch costume.
Grinch. I bring it.
We don't know if Nick Hale's Santa is a sexy Santa.
Can you just show the YouTube folks at home just like a piece of the costume?
Yeah, just give us a little tease.
A little tease. Santa, oh, baby. Look at that. Look at that's a nice
Ooh,
one.
Ooh, it's a sexy Santa.
Yeah. YouTube.com/at1210WPHT.
Yeah. And do you have the hat?
He has everything.
Okay,
he has everything.
He's got everything. He's got everything. He's locked and loaded.
A beard.
I've got
a beard.
Belts, beards, boots.
All you need now is a new Honda. So come on by. Seriously, it's a local Piazza dealership, and it's actually through Friday, December 12th. But we want you to represent tomorrow, December 5th, okay? So come out with us. And during your visit, say a big hello to the team. Tell them, obviously, for more information about, first of all, the Piazza Toy Drive, or to browse their extensive inventory online, PIAZZA, PiazzaAutoGroup.com. But seriously, we want to see you out there. Come on. It's going to be a great day, right?
Come on. What are you doing?
Come on out. And we'll take pictures together. We'll have a blast together. PiazzaAutoGroup.com, PIAZZA. This is something great they do, and we're proud to be part of it. PiazzaAutoGroup.com.
This is the Kale and Company podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD and on the free Odyssey app.
All right, wrapping up the 6 o'clock hour here on a Thursday morning. A lot of good stories coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, including how Josh Shapiro says Kamala Harris told blatant lies about him, and she was, quote, trying to cover her ass. In her book.
This was the profile written on Josh Shapiro, or the interview he did with Tim Alberta, right, for
The Atlantic on Wednesday.
Wow.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot there. There's a lot of juicy stuff in this.
Yep.
I saw somebody in Politics PA responded to that and said that they were trying to dig up, because in this article, I don't know if you guys know this, they mention the cadence that he stole from Obama.
Oh,
and
so it's not just us creating something that doesn't really exist.
Well, they could be listening to the show. It's a very popular show. But somebody from Politics PA is on a mission now to dig up old clips of Josh Shapiro back when he was, what was he first on?
Attorney General.
Oh, man. No. That was more recent, AG. But he started out in Abington.
As a lawyer.
As like a solicitor and a local elected politician.
So they're trying.
In the day.
They're trying.
Josh Shapiro.
Shapiro.
Oh. Josh. I don't know if. The Atlantic thing, I don't think people talk about that, but he was actually Josh Shapiro.
Yeah.
And I think that people mispronounce, because obviously there are some famous Shapiros, in America.
Yeah.
And I think it's probably one of those things where he just figured, I'll just go with it. Because everybody was mispronouncing his name constantly.
Yeah.
But one of the guys at Politics PA is trying to dig up old clips of him from back in the day to see if he had the same cadence or if he really just, it was something that he stole from Obama when he was trying to make his way up there in the political field.
Yep, those on the left have been known to plagiarize. We've been covering those plagiarism stories for about 2 years on this show.
Yep.
So not surprised at all. So we'll get into that when we come back in the 7 o'clock hour. Don't forget tomorrow, Piazza Auto Group Toy Drive.
Yep.
Benefiting the Salvation Army of Greater Philadelphia. It's the 7th year in a row. And by the way, we are going to be out at the Piazza Honda Springfield location, Delaware County, right off of Baltimore Pike. If you can't make that location, because we have a wide-ranging collection of listeners throughout the Delaware Valley, Piazza has 40 dealerships.
Yeah.
You can take a toy to any of the dealerships. They're going to have a Salvation Army bin.
But come by ours.
Yes. Yeah.
But yes. Come by ours. Yes.
Exactly.
Yes.
Drive out of your way.
Yeah, you can.
Suck it up. Gas is cheap
if
now.
You're
right?
If you're a low energy person and you're like, I can't drive all the way out there, then fine. Yeah, do that. But if you want to see Nick in a Santa costume and Dawn in a sexy elf costume.
And Greg in a sexy.
Then come out tomorrow morning starting at 6 a.m.
There you go.
Too sexy.
Dawn Stensland. Talk to us about your guys.
My guys. They were just out. They were just out late last week. My guys, Marvin E. Cans, heating and air conditioning. So one of the things that Jonathan Cans, I told him about that was, we didn't know what to do. In fact, we in our lower level had moved our office just upstairs because we have this one room in our lower level and we realized it didn't have the proper, Jonathan realized it didn't have the proper duct work in there. So he was the one who said, put one of these, it's a Mitsubishi mini split. That's what they call it for short. It has been a game changer for us. Seriously, you got to check this out. It's Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning Mini Split. That's the official name, but the shorthand for it is Mitsubishi Mini Split. So this is what they installed in our basement last year. Wow, has it been incredible. It's a ductless unit from Mitsubishi Electric Heating and Air Conditioning, and Larry and I love it. And the air down there, it used to have like this musty smell. And it just, we couldn't regulate it. It was like dank and damp and nasty. Now it's this clear, crisp air and obviously temperature controlled. It has been wonderful. And I'm really grateful that, first of all, that Marvin E. Cans, my guys, they installed it, but that Jonathan came up with that solution. And that's what I'm talking about. So as winter does, well, winter's here, crying out loud. It's 20 degrees overnight tonight and this Arctic blast tomorrow. What are you waiting for? You got to check out my guys, Marvin E. Cans, MarvinE.com. Marvin E. Cans, tell them Dawn sent you.
Start your day with Kale and Company, weekday mornings 6 till 10 on Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, and the free Odyssey app.